are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at Lighthouse Chapel International Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you enjoy this anointed word.
With your people singing praises, I love to stand and rejoice.
Thank you so much, Reverend Dr. Lindsay. Why did you put your hands together for your pastor? I mean, he's my senior brother, a friend. I mean, it's a family. That's the only thing I can say. It's a family. And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And you can only find it in Christ. Amen. And all this has been made possible because of one man, Bishop Doug Ewart Mills. You know, we live in a certain world that we have no idea of. Until you step out of it, then you would realize it is not all the same everywhere. We are in a world. And because of the father of the house, there are privileges we enjoy and liberties we have that others do not have. There are qualities and virtues we have been taught and we have that others don't have. Do not take it for granted. And I think you should put your hands together for this great man, this great father, and this great servant of God. Amen. What a blessing. Like Paul once said to a man of God, said, how you owe your very life. Your very life, you owe it to me. And for some of us, we are able to say that we owe our lives. Our lives. Because we owe it to him, Bishop Dagi. But I have no shame about it. Because I have a wife, because I met a wife in church. Not outside. Where I live, what I do not do, it is because of this man. You know, let me tell you something. I have come to realize that by serving God, you don't have to do much to prosper. If you serve God, naturally you would prosper. If you serve God well, naturally you will prosper. I was talking to a couple of ashes, and I told them, you don't have to buy a tie again. I don't know how much a tie cost you, but a good tie, you will not pay anything less than $100. A good tie. If you want to impress. No, you. Anyway, so I told them, you don't have to buy a tie again, because You all you have to do is to wear your ashes tie. And I said, you don't have to spend money on shirts. All you need is a white shirt. You don't need a blue shirt. You don't need a green shirt. You don't need a yellow shirt. You don't need all that. Just white shirt. You should not spend 20 minutes deciding which color you're going to wear on a Sunday morning. I told them, you don't need a green suit, you don't need a brown suit, you don't need a yellow suit, you just need a black suit. So the money you would have spent on the yellow suit, the green suit, the brown suit, the blue t-shirt, the blue tie, well, all that money you can save. And naturally, just by serving God, you are rich. Because you are an usher. You don't need to do much. You don't need to do much, but if you would follow this wisdom, you would be blessed. Because I am serving God, I don't take holidays like people take holidays. Yeah. I don't. People can go for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, but because I know there'll be camp meetings. I know as a pastor, I'll be called for meetings. So my vacation is my camp. My vacation is, so the money I would have spent traveling around uselessly,
I saved that. How can I be poor? So I just want you to understand something. You are in such a great place. You are in a great church, surrounded by wisdom and privileges that others are struggling to see. And I pray that tonight, this little insight will be a blessing to somebody. That's my prayer for you. That is my prayer for you. That is my prayer for you. And I thank God for the life of Bishop Doug. He is my father. He is my pastor. He is my prophet. He is my everything. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you once again. And I'm very happy and glad to say it. I have no shame about it at all. I have no shame about it. And you should not be angry and don't allow anybody to discourage you, to threaten or frighten you that you are worshiping a man. It's okay. Jesus said, give honor to whom honor is due. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. It's very simple. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father. We are not worshiping. We are honoring. And if you have a problem with that, then there's something seriously wrong with your mind and your thinking. There's something seriously wrong with you, because you are, and because you will not honor, you will also not be honored. And I pray that tonight, by these few words, somebody's destiny has been turned in a positive direction, in the name of Jesus Christ. Love unfailing, overtaking my heart. You take me in, finding peace again. Fear is lost in all you are. And I'll give the world, and I will give the world to tell your story. I know that you called me. I know that you called me. I lost myself for good within your promise. I won't hide it. I won't hide it. Jesus, I believe in you, and I will go to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. For you alone are the Son of God, and all the world will see. Help us, Lord, that we will not hide it. We will not hide the good news. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Putting us together, you may be seated. 1 Peter chapter 3. Amen. And tonight I just want to share something very little. I hope it will be a blessing to you. I don't hope. I know you are going to be blessed. Amen. I am convinced that you are going to be blessed. Hallelujah. And you are not going to leave here the same. Amen. And I'll be speaking from this book. Amen.
Chapter 3, verse 8 of 1 Peter. Finally, be ye all of one mind. Be ye all of what? One mind. Let us be loyal. Let us be faithful. Amen. Let's think the same way. Say the same things. Believe in the same things. No division. No separation. Nothing. Let us all be what? One mind. Amen. Having compassion one of another. Love us, brethren. Amen. And be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Wow. Why don't you put your hands together for... That's my big sister, so I have to welcome her. Or railing for railing. But contrarywise, blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Read it very carefully. You have not been called for shame. No. You have not been called for destruction. God hasn't called you to disgrace you. Read it very carefully. But contrarywise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called. You have been called to do what? Inherit a blessing. Therefore, anything that is contrary to a blessing in your life is contrary to your calling. Anything that is... Read it very carefully. Read it. Read it. He said, for thereunto are ye called that ye may inherit a blessing. Therefore, if anything is contrary to a blessing in your life, then it is not conforming to your calling. And you must therefore not accept it. You must therefore not compromise, but rather you must rise up based on the word of God and based on your inheritance and begin to claim a blessing. A bless, you have been called to inherit. And you need to believe. You are called to inherit.
That's my inheritance. Come on.
It's wonderful. It's amazing. That as you sit here tonight, whether it is sickness that is plaguing your body, whether it is joblessness, anything that is not a blessing, and you are called of God and by God, then you are living below the price for which Christ has saved and called you. Unless you don't know why you were called. Let me give you an example. Many of us left where we originally came from and came here for a reason. True or false? Huh? C'est vrai, non? Ouais. On a quitté notre pays pour venir ici. Pour une chose. Just for one thing. You left whichever country with the best weather. I mean, the best food you like. Everything. And you came right here to the United States of America. Not to see snow.
not to eat sausages. You came for one reason, and that reason that has brought you here is economic. You may not like it. You may try to cover it up. But I bet you if I gave you $1 million today, you will not stay in this country. As you even come down, a quarter of it will be okay. You will pack bag and baggage and you'll be on the next flight. The next Sunday you'll come to church and you say, "Brethren, the Lord has spoken to me. I need to go back to Africa and be a missionary." Hopefully you pay your tithe before you go. Yeah. And when you come here, and after several years, you do not see the reason and the purpose for which you left your country and you came here. You say, "No, this is not why I came." You begin to take steps to change your situation and your condition. How come you have accepted your situation in Christ as it is, and it does not bother you? The reason is because you do not know why you have been called. But he said, "I called you to inherit a blessing." I called you to inherit a blessing. And I pray that tonight somebody will inherit a blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, I pray that tonight somebody is going to inherit a blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So it is good to know that there is a blessing to be inherited. But remember something. Inheritance is only meant for children. But the fact that you are a child does not necessarily qualify you for inheritance. Yeah. Because I know people who disown their kids. You need to understand spiritual things. I know people, the father died, rich man, left nothing for it. Because this child does not do what I like. This child is not like them. This child, she doesn't do what I like. Yeah. And she's living in poverty. The father was very rich. Very, very rich. So the fact that you are a child does not necessarily qualify you to receive the inheritance. Although your calling and your position by virtue of the fact that you are a child should just make you inherit, it is not automatic. I said, I'm preaching from an akazo. Don't forget it. I'm preaching from this book. You may be wondering where it is coming from, where it is leading to. I just want you to understand it. I just want you to understand what I'm talking about. Because there is something you must do that makes you a child to be able to receive what your Father in heaven has bestowed. He has already prepared. He did not say that a blessing that you are going to, but to inherit it. It means that it is done. But there are always conditions. You know, it's like you are a minor. So the account should not be released to you. And some of us never grow. Some of us never grow. And because we do not grow, that condition is preventing us from having access to what already belongs to us. Bible says that let him that come to, without faith it's impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if you are living the Christian life and you have no rewards, you must ask yourself, what am I up to? Because God is a rewarder. You need to understand something. You have not been called for shame. You have not been. Bible says that for you know Christ Jesus, that he became poor so that, although he was rich, he became poor so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. So if you are poor, then you are defeating the purpose for which Christ suffered poverty. He suffered in vain. In relation to you, he suffered in vain. But it must not be the case. And I believe that tonight, by the grace of God, it is going to change in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Hey. So I just want to establish some facts here. That number one, you've been called for a blessing. Number two, that God is a rewarder. Number three, that you don't just by virtue of the fact that you are a son, just inherit. No, it's not. Esau was a son, but he lost his inheritance. He lost it. You know, the prodigal son was a son, but he lost it big time. Amen. John, please. John chapter 15. Verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Jesus is saying that we did not choose him, but he chose us. And he is giving us the reason why we have been chosen. There is a reason. Amen. Amen. There is a purpose and a reason. And he said that the reason is that we should go and then what? Bring forth fruits. And that our fruit should remain. How many years have you been saved? Where are the fruits? I want you to understand. It's very simple, but it's a hidden fact staring us right in the face, but we never seem to get it. We never seem to get it. We do everything else but the truth. And no matter how many times that is pointed us to us, we seem to be missing. But I pray that tonight you will not miss it in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that tonight you will not miss it. I pray. You should go and bring forth fruits, and that your fruit should remain. And because you have fruit, it qualifies you to now go to the Father and ask anything you want. Is it a wonder that pastors are being blessed? Now, because be honest with yourself, how much offering do you give? No, let's be honest. Or I shouldn't say it. Verse 8, so that we can close early. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruits, so shall ye be my disciples.
God is not so excited about our singing and our dancing. Because he sings and dances over us. Read your Bible. Yeah. He inhabits. Yes, he inhabits in our praise, but he also sings. Jesus is showing us what makes God happy. Remember, Isaac told Esau, go and do what I like. And when you have brought me what I like, then he didn't even say, he said, my soul. My soul. My soul. My soul. Are we doing what God likes so much that the soul of God will be provoked in him to speak a blessing over our lives? Jesus said, he said, herein is my Father glorified. This is what he likes. That we bring forth much fruits. Much. Much. Much fruits. I pray that we would rise up. We're in Memphis, no? Memphis. We're in Memphis. Must hear of us. Memphis must know that we are here. It is high time. I don't know who is here and is seeking for a blessing, but a blessing is waiting for you. 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 A blessing. You know, let me tell you something. God once asked me a question. I will never forget. And he said, what would you do if I would give you a bar of gold for every soul you bring? What would you do? You see, and I said, but why? And he said, it's because you do not understand the value of a soul. You do not understand. You see, listen to me very carefully. When you walk to a forex bureau, I don't know what you call it here. We call it bureau d'échange, exchange, currency exchange, whatever. Yeah. When you give them a foreign currency, they take it and they give you something else. An equivalent. Thank you very much. The money you took there in the country where you are has no value. But to that office, it holds great value. Remember, there are people who have been employed whose salaries are being paid. Where do you think it comes from? The thing that had no value for you. So you went to exchange. It has so much value that it is able to pay somebody's salary. Salary enough that he will pay. He's not a doctor. He's not an engineer. He's not a pilot. He's not any of these great things. But he has a good salary to pay his rent, pay his children's school fees, do any other thing as a normal human being will do. But that money that you held had no value where you found yourself. A soul may mean nothing to you here. But if you will bring it to God, God is ready to make an exchange. He will make a trade. He will make a trade. He will take that soul and will give you something else that is valuable to you here. What would you do? What would you do? What would you do? You know, that is why the Bible says that what will a man give in exchange for his soul?
What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? But here, it means nothing. But there, I pray that somebody here tonight will take this key, will take this key, and will run with it. Your life, your destiny will never ever be the same again in the name of Jesus Christ. Shamelessly, you must try and catch people and acaso them, compel them, you know. Listen, John was with Andrew and another person. And when he saw Jesus coming, he said to them, "That is the Messiah." Bible said immediately they left him. There are some souls, when you point them to Christ, they will go. They will come. They will come. Naturally, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to. Just point them. Just point them. That's what John the Baptist just pointed to. That. They left him. And they followed. They followed. That is it. That is it. But it doesn't end there. I want to show you something. It doesn't end there. Bible said when they got to Jesus' house, it was 10 o'clock at night. Jesus said it was too late. If you want to pray early, sleep at 10 o'clock latest. Jesus slept at 10 o'clock. Jesus slept at 10. When I read the script, I'm like, wow, actually there's a time that Jesus sleeps. Yeah, so that you'll be able to wake up early. Light out. It's 10 o'clock. You have to sleep. After preps. That's right. After preps. Yeah. Yeah. You know, somebody saying, what is preps? What is that? Well, you grew up here, so you don't understand all that we are talking about. You don't understand lights out and all that, because here the lights are always on. So Jesus said that they should, and Bible said the next day, Andrew left and he found first he's found his own brother, Simon. And he told him, "Simon, we found the Messiah. We found the Messiah. We found the Messiah." You see, but Peter did not come. No, Peter did not come. Bible said, and he brought him. Andrew brought, he held his hand and he brought him to Jesus. And nobody brought Andrew. Nobody brought Andrew. Andrew was just pointing. Said, there are people, when you point them and say, "Oh, come to church." Say, "Where is the address? Where?" "I will come." And truly, Sunday, you see that they are here. Hey, that is Andrew. That is Andrew for you. That is Andrew. But there are Peters who will not come. You have to go there. You have to go there. And take his hand and say, "Let us go to the Messiah. I have found the Messiah. Come with me and let us go to the Messiah." You must know, you must decide to understand and know the type of soul you are dealing with. And some of these people that we are struggling with, it is because Satan knows the value on their lives and the impact they are going to make in the kingdom of God. If you treat everybody like Andrew, you are going to lose out on your Peters. You treat every, and Peter accomplished so much more than Andrew. Only because he was compelled. He was compelled. His brother, I want to tell you something. That brother you have at home, that friend, your neighbor, you eat with, you joke with, I mean, you play around with. When are you going to tell him, "Bring him. I have found the Messiah"? And hold his hand and say, "Charlie, today I am taking you to the Messiah. Today I am bringing you to the Messiah. Today I am bringing you to God." Don't leave him, because he is not an Andrew. You have been inviting him for years. You have been inviting him for months. And every day you pass in front of his house and you come to church. When are you going to stop that Sunday morning and knock on the house? And when his mother opens the door, you ask, "Mom, where is Peter?" He Is he at home? She said, yes, Rita is sleeping. I said, Mom, can you wake him up? Can you tell him I want to take him to church? His mother may be an unbeliever, but deep down her soul, she will be glad that somebody is interested in the salvation of his son. Friends, he said, first he findeth his own brother. First he findeth his own brother. That is it. He findeth his own brother. His own brother. His own brother. Your sister. Your brother. Your friend. Your cousin. Your mother. Your father. When are you going to talk to them? When are you going to take them and say, sit in my car. I will take you. I will take you to the Messiah. I will. I'm talking about an akazo. I told you I was preaching about an akazo, no?
That's it.
When Jesus saw Peter, he said, your name is Simon? And he added, Peter. You be called Simon Peter. A rock. A rock. See, if he had not been compelled, where will the rock be on which Jesus will build his church? How many pastors are dying out there? How many missionaries in Memphis? How many lady pastors? How many bishops are dying because we have put them in a category of Andrew, saying that, oh, I invited him. If he will come, he will come. If he will come, he will decide to come. Come on. There are people that the enemy is stopping from making a move. But if you will stretch forth your hand and take them by the hand, they will gladly follow you. 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 You know, let me tell you something. You know, our bishop in London, Bishop Ayi. Have you heard a story? Let me tell you. For many years, he sat in front of his house on Sunday mornings, hoping somebody will invite him to church. Hoping. He used to teach people, and he knew they go to church. And he was hoping that somebody would just say, come, I will take you to church. But nobody invited him. Not on a Sunday. Not on a Sunday. But one Friday, a friend came and said, I'm going for a prayer meeting. And I want to take you to that prayer meeting. That was the beginning of his walk with God. All the hundreds of churches in the UK, all the missionaries that came from the UK to America, to the Caribbean, all of them were hidden in this man who was sitting in front, waiting. But everybody had put him in that category of an Andrew. If he wants, he would come. But that was a Peter. That was a Peter. And so he said, when he started going to church, Sunday, he didn't know Sunday church. Because the invitation he was given was a Friday service. So he only used to go for Friday prayer meeting. Sunday, no church. No church. Why? And that's how he got his name, Brother Mighty. Because of a prayer. 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 But he was sitting there. How many people in your community, in your neighborhood, are sitting there waiting for an invitation that you will hold their hand and take them to church? Bring them here where you are coming to find life and find joy and find peace for your life. I pray for you. I pray for you. You know, let me tell you something about, how old is Jude? 10 years ago, about 11 years ago, I had been praying for my brother to be saved, my elder brother. Prayed for years for him to be saved. And he started going to a Catholic church. I said, thank God at least he goes to church. It's better than staying at home and drinking and fooling around, you know? And that was, there are, should I say, 10 of us. Don't be surprised.
You'll be surprised. Maybe some of you are 20. Says that you don't know. At least I knew all my siblings. You'll be shocked. Sometimes you meet somebody and they have the surname like you. You better find out. You better dig a bit. You'll be surprised what you're going to find. So anyway, there were 10 of us. And out of the 10, he was the closest to me. And I kept praying for all of them to be saved. Praying. So he started going to a Catholic church. I said, thank God. But I continued praying. And then one day, 2 o'clock in the morning, he calls me crying. You know, when your elder brother is crying, it's a different story. You know, and my elder brother was the giant. Giant. He's so tall and huge, he had to cut his hair to look a bit more calm, normal, you know, so that when you see him, it's like a nice person, you know. Yeah, it's because he was huge. I mean, all muscle, you know. Yeah, all muscle, huge like that. Crying. I said, Isaac, what's wrong? Then he said, Daddy said I should call you. I said, why? He said, I had a terrible dream. I want Jesus to be my Savior. 2 o'clock in the morning, I will never forget. I prayed for him, led him to Christ. He was living in London, led him to Christ. He started going to church. He became an usher in the church. And then he became the personal usher of the pastor. He would carry the pastor's Bible and move around with him. I was in Ohio 10 years ago, exactly 2 years after I led him to Christ. He went to Ghana and said, oh, my head. And I was like, I want to have surgery. They took him in. They said, there's a clot, blood clot somewhere. They want to take it out. I said, wait, why don't you go and do it in the UK when you go back? He said, no, I don't think I can fly with this pain. He went into surgery. I spoke with him the day before. He went into surgery. The next day, he passed away. And that was the day that he was born. I always remember that day. Are you going to allow your brother to die? Are you going to allow your sister to die? How long is it going to take you to tell them about the Messiah? That neighbor you play with, you joke with, you laugh with, you do everything with, except what is important. The word of God. We have found the Messiah. Come. There will be no room in this church. There will be no room in this church if every soul here will bring a soul to Christ before this year is over. Before this year is over. If you can just bring a soul, just one, there will not be room enough. And your blessing that God is going to release on you, you have no idea. You have no idea. You have no idea. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all of them, will be added to you. All of them will be added to you. Believe it, that this is the key that qualifies you as a child to begin to inherit the inheritance that God has released for you. He said, just do this, you will make me happy. And once I am happy, anything you need, anything you desire, I will give it to you. I came to challenge you this evening. I came to encourage you this evening that it is time. You have sat down for too long and allowed Peters to become like Andrews. Some of them are dead, but it is time for us to save the few that is left. There are many souls that will be saved if just one more Peter can be turned around. They may not listen to you as an Andrew, but there is a Peter out there whose life is connected to many thousands of souls that are waiting. Will you be that Andrew that God can use tonight? I pray that grace will come upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. Put your hands together for the Lord. And I will give the world to tell your story.
For I know that you've called me. I know that you've called me. I lost myself again within your promise. I will.
I won't hide it.
Jesus, I won't hide it.
I won't hide it.
Oh, oh Jesus, I believe in you. And I will go to the ends of the earth. Oh,
to the ends of the earth.
For you.
For you. Alone at the sign of God. And all the world will see. You are God.
Oh,
you are God.
Jesus,
I believe in you.
And I will go to the end.
To the ends of the earth.
To the ends of the earth.
To the ends of
for you. Chest right now, you want to pray. You want to pray and ask God to touch your heart right now. You want to ask God to touch your heart right and give you that grace to be like an Andrew. You want to save a soul this year at least. You want to bring one Peter to Christ. Pray right now. Say, Lord, help me. Help me. Give me that grace I need tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. You will begin to walk into greatness. You will begin to walk into mighty greatness and wealth. If you will begin to do what pleases the Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this grace. Thank you, Lord, for this grace. Thank you, Lord, for this grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise. I give you praise. Tonight, Lord, bless your word that we have heard. Bible said you sent forth your word to heal them and to deliver them from their destruction. Tonight, I pray that deliverance will come. I pray that deliverance from lack, from poverty will come in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that, Lord, this key will usher us into our greatness in the name of Jesus Christ. That we will become great not by the workings of man, but great by your determinate power in the name of Jesus Christ. Greatness that cannot be explained. I thank you. I give you praise. Bless this church in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a young man here. There's a young woman here. I feel so strongly in my heart that you are going to draw in a great man of God. Yes. 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 You are going to attract Peters. Peters, that brother of yours. Yes, he's a crackhead today, but the power of God is here to save him. Satan knows why he's fighting. Because that soul is great and precious. Father, thank you. We are living here with this passion in our hearts. Great passion. Great passion. A passion to bring the Peters. A passion to draw them, Lord. I thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen. Listen. Can I just share one last thing with you before I take my seat? Psalm 49, please. This was a scripture God gave me when he asked me, what would you do if I give you a bar of gold for every soul? I would never forget that day. I was in Paris. He asked me that question. What would you do? Let me show you. Psalm 49. Verse 6 to verse 8. And they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitudes of their riches. Verse 7. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. The redemption of their soul is precious. They cannot give God a ransom. No amount of money on earth can redeem a soul. And God is ready to pay a great price for just one soul. I pray that we will write. This year, you would be great. I said, this year, truly, you will be great. And the key to your greatness is this. Begin to connect yourself to kingdom building activities. God, who is a rewarder, will reward you. For every soul you bring in, I see God giving you a bar of gold. You will break the back of poverty. You will break the back of poverty. You are in America, but you know, you understand America. America, there's America and there's America. Is that not true? There is America and there's... You are going to experience America. I said, you are going to do what? Experience. You are going to walk out of lack. Your season of lack is over. Because God has opened his Forex Bureau. God has opened his office. Bring a soul for a bar of gold. He is ready to exchange. Ready to exchange. Who would come? Who would come this Sunday as you bring a soul this Sunday and every other Sunday till the end of the year as you bring a soul? Believe that you are receiving a bar of gold for an exchange. May God bless you. May he keep you until we meet again. May you have a testimony to the glory of God. Put your hands together. Let's welcome.
Believe the word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive, Bartlett, Tennessee, this and every Sunday at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Be blessed.